The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. It's the start of a new week, the dawn of a new era. Welcome to this Monday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. Trying to make sense out of the absolute senseless that we are being dealt by public officials right now. And here's what I've noticed. The battle lines have been clearly drawn. There are the people who believe that the shutdown should extend indefinitely, no matter the economic cost, no matter the physical toll. You know, we're hearing more and more that Americans are delaying medical treatment if they have... I talked to a woman whose breast cancer treatments have been delayed. I talked to her on Saturday morning. It was meant to be palliative. Probably was not going to save her life, but it was stemming the tide. But she couldn't do her breast cancer treatments. I've heard from people who are not going in to get their diabetes treated. Child sexual assault has skyrocketed, according to the Child Sex Assault National Hotline. But the people who want to stay at home, they say all of that's worth it. All of the increased sex assaults and the increased people not seeking medical care, because they have swallowed, hook, line, and sinker, the new directive from government. About 6 weeks ago, it was, we all have to stay at home so we can stem the tide and our hospitals will not be overflowing with patients and they won't have to do triage on the sidewalk. That was the original stated goal for stay at home. And then the medical disaster never happened. And in fact, the projections never even came close to materializing outside of New York State. But here we got a bunch of ventilators. We sent them back. We built a hospital. They tore it down. The projections were just wildly off. But now we're being told that the new matrix is, well, if we can save just one life, then we have to extend the shutdown. Because who would be so callous as to say the economy is more important than a human life? And I had a realization as I was thinking about that this weekend. If Jay Inslee's and today's Washington stay-at-home left, if they were in charge of this country back during Revolutionary War times, We'd still be under the rule of the British, because their stated reason for destroying the economy is we just can't lose any more lives. Not losing lives is the only thing they claim they care about. And of course, I believe it is much more about redesigning our economic system and our economy. But they claim that not losing lives is all they care about. We would still be under British rule if Jay Inslee and the Dems were in charge in the 1770s. If Jay Inslee and the Dems were in charge in 1860, we'd still have slavery. We can't lose a life in pursuit of ending slavery in the South. We can't do it. Oh, and I've anticipated the critics, the haters. They're already firing off their text messages and their angry emails to management. Did you just compare the economy to slavery? Here's what I'm saying. We have, over the years, as a nation, on many, many occasions, we have weighed the horrific trade-off of human life for some other purpose. And in the cases I just cited, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the human lives lost were the youngest, the fittest, those with the longest lives ahead of them, those with, presumably, if nothing is more precious than time, the men lost in those days had the most to lose. But there was an equation made that, well, freedom from the Brits is worth more than hundreds of thousands of lives. Freedom from slavery and that black mark on American history, that was worth more than how many lives were lost? Tens of thousands, 60,000? I mean, enormous number. And we make those trade-offs all the time. So now it is considered morally unacceptable for those of us who believe that we should accelerate the reopening, that we should learn all the things that we have learned the last couple of months, and the vulnerable should stay at home, and those who are able to work at home should continue to work from home. And we should probably limit those large gatherings for a while longer. But as far as this complete shutdown of the economy that could have a devastating effect for a decade or more, there is, at some point in the equation, just as there was with slavery, just as there was getting free from Great Britain, there is a number of deaths that everybody has to think is an acceptable number for some greater good for the country. Now, maybe you're one who thinks zero deaths and let's destroy the economy. And I assume you're the same one who would say zero deaths and let's keep slavery in America. Zero deaths and let's remain under the rule of the Brits. If you are consistent with that sort of worldview, I think it's a little loony, but at least you're consistent. But for almost everybody else, there's an acceptable number based on what you perceive to be the nobility of the cause. And I would suggest when you have 33 million Americans unemployed, saving our economy is a very noble cause. And I don't want to sound crass here, but while in war, it is the youngest, the healthiest, those with the most time left on this earth to lose, that's who we sacrifice then. Here, about 85% of the COVID deaths are people 75 plus with underlying health conditions. That does not make their death any less tragic than anybody else's. But it is still a factor in the equation of at what point do we say we've done too much damage to this economy and we got too many people unemployed. And especially young people, man, the unemployment rate right now in April for 16 to 24-year-olds in America, all-time record high, 27.4%. And there is a sad connection to that number because especially young men, especially young men of color, if you're unemployed in such great numbers at that age, it is really difficult to carve out a different pathway in life other than one of dependency. It's not impossible, but the statistics make it very clear. And again, I do believe that the new government approach to all of this is because they want as many dependent people as possible so that they can greatly expand government, get that income tax they've been craving. Jay Inslee had a press conference on Friday. And at the press conference, his language was very interesting to me. You know, speaking of the Revolutionary War, the whole point of America, the grand experiment, was that under a king's rule, all of our rights are decreed by the king. And what man grants us, man can take away. And the founding fathers of the United States of America, they said, no. We are endowed by our creator with certain unalienable rights. So now it's not a right that man can take away, but these are rights from God by virtue of our birth. We are born with certain rights. And what I found interesting during the Inslee presser is he seems to really be getting off on this notion of his power over us now. When he was talking about what businesses might be reopening, he always says the same thing. I'm going to allow. So now suddenly our rights don't come from our Constitution. Our rights come from Jay Inslee. And I think he really, really enjoys this.
He then also allowed additional non-emergent surgeries.
He's allowing non-emergent surgeries. Anything else you're going to allow us, oh, benevolent one?
We've released safety and health requirements to allow more activities, to allow drive-in religious services, to allow auto and vessel sales and car washes.
They are allowing us to do a lot of things. I don't know if I can handle such freedom now that Jay Inslee is allowing us to do more and more.
We are issuing guidances to allow curbside sales to move forward.
Curbside retail sales. They're going to allow that as well. And then he talked about how some counties that have zero, maybe one COVID death, that they're going to allow them to accelerate their reopening.
In making these decisions, we're using science and data and the best information we can get from these counties to make sure that they are ready to reopen. And we're really pleased that we've started this first step.
Okay. But then he continued to push what is just a necessary lie to maintain as much fear in people, because the more fearful the populace is, the more easily controlled the populace is. And listen to how Jay Inslee, we have about 900 deaths in Washington from coronavirus. Listen to how Jay Inslee describes the death toll in our state.
We are going to continue to make rational, science-based decisions with both the health of our persons and the health of our economy in mind. And what we know that if we are going to have a healthy economy, we cannot allow this COVID to continue to have massive fatalities in our state.
We cannot allow it to continue to have massive fatalities, meaning we currently have massive fatalities. Okay, state population just under 8 million. We've had about 900 deaths. That works out to a little over 1/100th of 1% of people in our state who have died from coronavirus. 1/100th of 1%. Now, I don't know what you want to term that, but it's not massive fatalities. If you're talking about 1 out of every 10,000 people, that's not a massive fatality rate. But he has to keep pushing that lie. But anybody who disagrees is simply heartless.
It is biologically nonsense to try to endanger Washingtonians right now, which would be a clear and present danger. And frankly, it's from a human standpoint, it's just heartless. On Mother's Day, to be suggesting we should expose our mothers to this virus unnecessarily.
Who's suggesting that? Two of my girls who haven't been living at home. They didn't come out to the house for Mother's Day. They played tennis with my wife in the open air yesterday morning, but they didn't come out to the house because they thought, we don't want to expose you. We have the right to make those decisions. But he called it heartless for people to be exposed. Don't get exposed then. We have the freedom to make those choices. I've got so much more Jay Inslee to play for you. I'm going to save a lot of that. And then also, there's a grandma in Cedro Woolley. She decided to tear down the caution tape at a local park, and she got arrested for it over the weekend. She's going to talk to us exclusively. That's coming up right after the news. So we do have lots more straight ahead. We are just getting rolling here as the Monday afternoon edition of the Dory Monson Show gets rolling. Well, there is growing citizen unrest about the stay-at-home order. It is really unrest about the destroying of our economy. And as I told you at the beginning of the show, I just imagine if Jay Inslee and his Dems were in charge, when we sacrificed a lot of lives to become free from the British, we sacrificed a lot of lives to free the slaves. And now we're trying to free the economy, but we are told no loss of life is acceptable. It's amazing how our nation has changed as far as trying to sacrifice for a nobler good. Huge rally in Olympia yesterday. Over 1,000 people at the Capitol letting their minds be heard. And earlier in the weekend, it was actually late last week, a grandma in Cedro Woolley, she was arrested for taking a stand against Jay Inslee's stay-at-home order. Her name is Kimberly Taxtall, and she joins us exclusively here on the Dory Monson Show. Kimberly, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you for the invite.
Okay, and we were talking a little bit off the air, and you mentioned your voice is a little bit stilted because of a couple of medical issues. What sorts of things are you battling right now, Kimberly?
Well, I have battled a stage 3 breast cancer battle for 4 years, and regrettably, as a result of the 18 months of chemotherapy I took for that battle, it unfortunately gifted me with Parkinson's disease. And yes, I did mean to say gifted, because praise God, I am still here.
That's a wonderful attitude. Did the stay-at-home order, the lack of elective medical procedures, did that interfere at all with your medical care yourself?
I have had 44 appointments canceled, and regrettably, with Parkinson's disease, not having the physical therapy appointments and the voice appointments that are necessary to keep fighting a good fight with the Parkinson's journey sets us all back. I am only one of several.
Yeah, I did not realize that would fall under the category of elective. That really surprises me.
I don't know how it fell under that as well, sir. If I could answer that, I would love to answer it.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, so you engaged in your act of civil disobedience. Tell me what you did at the playground there at Riverfront Park in Cedro Woolley.
Well, my action was based on a conversation that I had with an 11-year-old granddaughter. She had shared with me how much she feels they have lost since school was canceled, and every wonderful activity that Skagit County has for 7 months, all of them were canceled. I mean, absolutely every one of them. The you know, Skagit Speedway, the Tulip Festival, Blast from the Past, the Berry Dairy Days Festival, every county fair up here. It's like one was, you know, placed across our state, and everything has been eradicated. And she had shared with me how the caution tape was up on the playground equipment in Cedro Woolley at the public park where she likes to frequent. And I thought about that a lot, and I thought, well, gosh, I want to do something to educate my granddaughter that she is a little voice, but she needed to be heard. So I took it upon myself to go down to Riverfront Park in Cedar Woolley, and I simply removed all the caution tape off of the playground.
Okay, so you went into the closed playground. Now, here was the part I saw on TV, Kimberly, that seemed to make the most people upset with you, and that is that you posted on Facebook and told people, come on down to this closed park, and you said you would give free cotton candy to the first 50 kids. Why did you choose to do that?
That was my mistake of the century. I'll share that with you right off the bat. First of all, Riverfront Park was not officially closed. The gates of that park have always been open up to this last week with the problem I had with the mayor, and then she closed and locked the gate just for one day. The gate is open again.
Okay.
The caution tape is again up on all the playground equipment and across the basketball court.
Why did you offer cotton candy to the first 50 kids? Because I think even people who are sympathetic with you wanting to make a statement, like me, I have to admit, when I read that, I thought, oh, she shouldn't have gotten other people's children involved in her protest.
Well, those here in Skagit County that know me personally understand. When I first posted my offer to cotton candy to the children, firstly, I would never give a child any type of food product without a parent being present, because I am not aware of that child's health condition, whether or not they're diabetic or whatever it might be. I would never endanger the life of a child. I'm a grandmother to five. Here in Skagit County, my husband and I have supported numerous organizations up here the last 20 years where I provide food to the homeless and to the churches, to charities. I feed everyone. I even have fed the Cedar Woolley Police Department prior, along with their fire department. I am known for whatever I do up here. Food is always involved.
Now, I did hear the mayor say that she did not want to arrest you, but she said, and I'm quoting, she crossed the line when she enticed children to come down to the park, enticing them to come play on the equipment. She was putting them in harm's way. Do you believe that that is true?
I do not believe that is true. And regrettably, when the mayor took that stance and wrote her letter, she posted her letter to the Cedar Woolley Police Department Facebook page, which is seen by hundreds of people, probably more people that probably look at it, the city council page. So I was alarmed because that step is what sent a lot of this viral.
Yeah. And that they just wanted you to leave. And she said that you did not want to leave. You wanted to be arrested. Is that accurate?
What I said was there were actually two incidents with the police that day. The first time I removed the caution tape from the playground, the city park employee that runs that park contacted the police. We have six active duty officers in the town of Cedar Woolley. Three police vehicles responded to the park. Now, mind you, I'm down there with very few people. And then Chief Tucker actually responded in his private vehicle. And they explained to me that I could not be in the park and that they were going to trespass me from that particular park for 90 days.
Okay.
And that they were going to put the caution tape back up again. At that point in time in our conversation, I said, well, I am going to return because I will recut the tape again. And they said, do you want to be arrested? And my answer actually was, I understand you have a job to do, but please understand that I also have a job that I am attempting to do.
Feel that strongly about this. Have you ever been arrested before?
I have zero priors, but now my paper arrest reads that I'm charged with criminal trespassing.
Okay. All right. And do you mind my asking how old a lady are you?
I am almost 57 years old.
Okay. Because I heard you say that now they gave a paper arrest to a little granny. That was the quote I saw from you.
Well, that's how I felt, because I felt like I was not being listened to, and their posturing there with me was based on the law of Washington State. And my counter to that was, there is no law that I have found on the record books for taping off playground equipment. They have taken the action they have taken under the directives of Governor Inslee. So my protest is about tyranny. It's not about caution.
Understood. All right. Now, you're a free person today. Are you going to go tear down the tape again?
I will be returning this afternoon. I just carry the scissors in my purse now. And yes, sir, I will go remove the tape once again. The day after our first encounter unfolded, I explained I would be back, and the mayor the next morning blocked and they barricaded the entrance to the park. Okay. And they put up a sign for foot access only. So I am disabled. There was not a way for a disabled person to enter the park at that time if they are not able to cross a full field by foot. So I went in the back way and through four barricades. I drove my car in to recut the tape.
Okay. Well, Kimberly, you're in a little showdown now with Jay Inslee and with Cedro Woolley Police. I only have 10 seconds left. Is it all worth it?
I believe it is worth it. We need to stand up and take our freedoms back from our government. This Governor Inslee, the Cedro Woolley Police, Mayor Julia Cedro Woolley, they are all public servants. They work for us. We do not work for them. We need to take our freedoms back that are afforded to us under the Constitution of the United States of America. They're slowly eroding.
Well, Kimberly, keep me posted, okay? And all my best in your battle against both the cancer and the Parkinson's. I appreciate you coming on and talking with me today.
Thank you very much, and God bless the United States of America.
God bless you as well. All right, thank you, Kimberly. Kimberly Taxtall, she's the rebellious grandma in Cedro Woolley, says she may go out and get herself arrested one more time this afternoon. As always, I'd love to know what you think about all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Meanwhile, we are also focused on our local economy, million Washingtonians out of work, just devastation for so many families. It is so sad. And I get all these messages. I don't know if the people who are on the other side of this argument and just want the economy shut down as much as possible for as long as possible. Dory, aren't you still working at home? Yep. And I hope to be for as long as possible. I hope to be working at home long after coronavirus. We have figured out a way where the show is from a technical standpoint, and I'm about efficiency. And if I can save an hour's commute, half hour each direction and plow that into the show? Yeah, I'll do that. I think everybody should find new ways out of all of this. Stay at home. Don't expose your relatives. Work at home if you are able. But there's a lot of business that people can't work at home. And it's usually younger people. And the highest unemployment rate is young people of color. Right now, they have jobs in disproportionate numbers where you cannot work from home. So using the same argument of the, it could save just one life. You know, those of us who think we should reopen things on a more accelerated pace could say, why do you like people of color being unemployed? Why do you enjoy that so much? You let's stay home forever people. It's a disingenuous argument, but that's all they do is make disingenuous arguments. There is a presidential campaign that continues. Joe Biden, he's been doing his, he did a rally from his basement, and there are going to be a couple of long pauses. I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's too painful, but Joe Biden has, you know, all the machine of a presidential campaign, and he can't pull anything
he's
off.
He's welcome. He's President Biden.
I'm leaving the gaps in. This is Joe Biden's.
Yes, sir. Hey, good evening. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Oh, that'll fire up the supporters when you can have a digital rally like that. Way to go, Joe! Okay, Fastest 15. Lots of great news to share with you coming up next on the Dory Monson Show.